In the summer of 2020, I found myself closely monitoring my social media accounts in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. A little background might be helpful to you. For almost all the time that I've been preaching, I have preached for churches that were racially diverse. And so as those events began to unfold in Minneapolis, and that divide, racial divide, began to erupt in our culture over that incident, I was concerned that it might also be divisive to our brothers and sisters. And it was. In fact, candidly, brothers and sisters, I was stunned by some of the things that disciples posted in the weeks that followed that terrible incident. Two of my Facebook friends linked an article that touted the theory that the whole thing was a hoax, that it looked fake, that it was a fraud put on with some hidden agenda. And I've read that wondering, what some of my African-American brothers and sisters would have thought if they'd read that at that particular time. Another sister posted this in her blog. She said, "All cops are bad," in response to the incident. And I read that and I thought about a lady in my church family whose son is a police officer and who every day thinks about him going out with a heavy heart and worries about what terrible thing might befall him. Between these two extremes were an endless stream of posts and comments and reactions and linked articles about the incident, much of it written in ignorance simply because we didn't know a whole lot early on about what had happened in Minneapolis. Much of it showed very little sensitivity for those who might see all of that from a different perspective. Very little of it was helpful. I don't know how many conversations I had with Christians over the next 4 or 5 months trying to heal wounded hearts and repair damage. There were many. And candidly, I'm not sure my efforts were all that successful. And that was only one incident, because we didn't move far beyond the summer of 2020 before we were into the fall and we had that contentious presidential election, and with it, all of the posts and linked articles and comments and social media battles over the candidates and the issues, and that just divided a lot of brethren again. And who knows how much was written and posted over the last 2 years about COVID and masking mandates and government intervention and conspiracies about the virus and all about the controversies over online services and packaged Lord's Supper. It was nice to use the tray Sunday. I wish the problem were just seasonal, like we would go through these episodes where there would be this kind of stuff on social media. But the truth is, if you're involved in this at all, you know that these events were not exceptional. The problem is not seasonal. It is chronic. Frankly, I don't have to post or hunt around my Facebook feed for very long before I find some post, sometimes a seemingly innocuous post that we find the ability to just turn into some big, huge, ugly battle or controversy. In fact, when I was serving as an elder, people seemed to believe that one of my responsibilities was to stay on Facebook all of the time and note all of the bad behavior and take care of it. People would come to me and say, "Did you see what he posted? Did you see what she commented? Did you see the article that was linked? What are y'all going to do about that?" Everyone seems to agree that there is a problem. In fact, some of you have come to me in the last few days and said, "Oh, I'm really happy you're saying something on Tuesday night about social media. I wonder why." Because it seems like we all concur that there is a problem and something that needs to be said. But the problem, brothers and sisters, is none of us believe that we are the problem. Or that our behavior is over the line. And so, I agree. Something needs to be said to disciples about their use of social media. And it isn't me. It's Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear the Lord about this. And we need to do what he said. And if I could be his instrument to help us do that, that's what I'd like to do tonight. So I want to begin by just referring you to two passages that I want to use as a foundation from which to work, because it is the Lord that needs to be heard. And so let's allow him to speak. I'm headed to the book of Ephesians. We're going to start there and grab one passage, Ephesians 4. I'm going down to verse 29, and I'm guessing it's Tuesday night, you're in a church building, that this passage is not going to be unfamiliar to the crowd, or at least to most of us. So Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Will you look back down through that verse there and think about what the Lord is saying to us about our speech? And let that linger for a minute, and I want to grab one more brick to put in this foundation. I'm headed to Colossians, this time chapter 4. And we look down at verse 5. This is Colossians 4 and verse 5, where Paul writes, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." And so if we could just take those two passages and the many ideas that are tucked in there, what are they saying to us about our words? Well, first of all, in a broad sense, I think they say to us that our words are under the rule of Jesus. Can we agree that? We serve King Jesus. And even the things that we say or write or post are subject to his rule. We were saying last night about anger, that the Lord puts boundaries around anger. God created us with the ability to get mad. He just doesn't allow us to do anything we want to when we get angry. And I think we're all on the same page about that, right? We all nod up and down if we're agreeing with me on that, right? Okay. So let's just take that same basic idea and apply it to the words that we speak and the things that we write and post on social media, that those too fall under the rule of the King. And these passages express his boundaries for our words. And so what does he say? In a broad sense, he says, be wise. Don't be careless or thoughtless. And what you say, be wise about your words. Let your words be chosen carefully. Think about what you're going to say or write or post. They need to be things that are helpful, good for edification, fitting for the need of the moment, things that will be useful to other people, words that are gracious. What that means is that I don't get to just say whatever I want to. Just like I don't get to behave any way I want to when I'm angry. My words have to work within the boundaries that King Jesus set for them. And as disciples, we respect those boundaries. And so with that as our foundation, there's some things that I want you to consider with me about social media. And I want you to know that I'm trying to apply what I talked about last night as I preach this evening. Because I'm angry about what's happening on social media and what it has done to us. I'll try to keep the anger within the boundaries and not just rant tonight, okay? I could do that. But what's more important is that we hear the Lord on this. So, I will apologize. I do not have 3 points tonight. I have 5. And I don't just have 5 words. So we got to work a little harder tonight than last night, okay? I want to say 5 things to you that I think we need to appreciate about social media, starting with this. Number one, social media is pervasive. And I think we need to ponder that carefully. Social media is pervasive. Do you understand what I mean when I use that word? I mean that it is widespread. Lots and lots of people, all kinds of people, literally all over the world are plugged in together through these social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. Facebook, folks, has almost 3 billion active users. Instagram, 1 billion. YouTube, 2 billion. TikTok, 1 billion. I'm still trying to figure that out. Lots of people are using it. And all kinds of different people. It's not limited to one age group. This isn't just a young people problem. Young people are on social media, but so are their parents. So are their grandparents. My parents are in their 80s and they're on Facebook, and it freaks me out a little bit, right? Wow. By the way, the kids know that. That's why they're all running away to Instagram and TikTok. They're trying to get away from the old people who are using the other ones like Facebook, right? And God's people are not an exception to that rule. I have a couple of social media accounts. Some of you are my friends on Facebook. Few of you follow me on Instagram, and I follow some of you. I don't do TikTok. I knew some of the kids were doing that, so about a month ago, I made a TikTok account, did TikTok for like 2 days, and said, this is dumb. And I gave up. I'm sorry if you love that. Maybe I'm missing something, but 2 days, I just felt dumber for having used it. And we use it a lot. The average American today gave more than 2 hours of his life to social media. And the kids, it's a little harder to identify that number. Kids spend roughly 7 to 9 hours a day looking at their screens. The problem is figuring out when you're texting and when you're looking at Instagram or whatever. But 7 to 9 hours a day. I know there are exceptions. Some of you are puffing your chest out right now and saying, I could proudly say I got no social media accounts. And you are the exceptions. So, if we could just stop right there and ponder something. I want you to appreciate with me, brothers and sisters, that when I post something to my Instagram account or my Facebook account or whatever, I don't have any idea who all is going to see that and how many people will see it, and the fact that all kinds of people are going to see it. Other disciples will see what I have posted, but also people I went to school with years ago, for those of us who are older. Young people in this church family will see what their Bible class teachers are posting. And your Bible class teacher can see what you're posting up on TikTok if they want to go there. People from my community. People with different political views than mine. People of different races. I think all of that needs to give us a little bit of pause. I want you to appreciate with me that when we go online and we post something, it may be that that post is the furthest reach of our voice and our influence. At least it has the potential of being the furthest reach of my influence than anything else that I do. Will you think about that? So now I'm thinking about something we talked about last night. Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If we are correct, and social media really is that pervasive, I really need to give some thought to who will see the pictures and the statements that I post to my accounts. And what is it that they will be seeing, and what will it say about me? And how will it reflect on the Lord that I serve? I don't think we have any business logging on and starting to post stuff up without pondering how pervasive this medium is. So could I begin with that? And then the next point that I want to make naturally dovetails with what we've just said. If it really is that pervasive, and then secondly, I need to appreciate that what I'm doing on social media is powerful. It just goes along with the first point. If this potentially is the furthest reach of my influence and my example, then these things I'm doing, this is really, really powerful. Sometimes it can be a force for good. It's both the rewards and the downsides, the consequences, the negative, the risk. All of it is amped up if this media really is powerful. Maybe a well-worded post at a critical time can help some people. I've seen that occasionally. You know what I see way more often? As I look through my wall, careless things that hurt people and damage relationships. And if you're on social media, you know that's true, because you've been scrolling through and you've seen something, a picture that somebody posted of something they're doing, or you've seen a comment that they made about something, or an article that they linked, and you thought, wow, I can't believe they would say something like that. And it damaged their influence in your eyes. That's happened, hasn't it? It's made you question somebody because of the kinds of things they have put in their feed. And you know what's worse than that? What do we do after we've read it or looked at it? We just scroll on by and don't say anything about it. By the way, that's what we want the elders to do. We don't want the awkward test. Let the elders go be the Facebook police, right? We look at it, their influence is damaged, and we scroll on by. So here's the thing, brothers and sisters. I may well be doing things and hurting my influence with other people, and I don't even know it because they're not saying anything about it. And so remember, I'm supposed to be a light of the world. I got friends out there that I want to help find their way to Jesus. Is there anything more important in life than we do than that? And right after that, I've got people that I love who are disciples that I want to encourage and help them follow Jesus. That's part of my mission as well. And to that end, I may teach Bible classes. Maybe I'm teaching teenagers, or I teach a college class, or I'm trying to influence all the young people in this church family, or maybe I serve as a shepherd in a church family. Or maybe I get up here and I lead public worship in front of the whole crowd. And to think, a careless, thoughtless post may be damaging my ability to do that effectively, and I don't even know because someone just scrolled on by and didn't say anything. Don't think, brothers and sisters, that it hasn't been said, because I've heard it. How can I send my teenager to that guy's Bible class after the kind of stuff he's posted on Facebook? How can I submit myself and serve under that shepherd? Did you see the pictures he put up on his Instagram? Those questions have been raised. And so again, I think we need to stop and ponder. If social media has that kind of power, then certainly we need to be really careful and really thoughtful about the kind of activity that we're involved in on our social media accounts. Which brings me to the third thing that I want to say tonight. Now, y'all are worried when I said I had five. Do you see how quickly we're getting through these tonight? This isn't going to go on and on, I promise. Because the third thing I want to say to you tonight is social media is used carelessly. All the time. Something so pervasive, perhaps the furthest reach of my influence, so powerful, and people use it so carelessly. I see the train wrecks all the time. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't post a whole lot on Facebook. Usually just pictures of cool spots I've seen when I'm on vacation or my absolutely adorable granddaughter, but that's about it. I don't do much else. What I do is I sit around and watch the train wrecks. And I mean, they are there all the time. Thank you for keeping me entertained. So, think about how many times you've seen something like this. Someone that you know, one of your friends, goes out for a date night with their spouse to a restaurant. And maybe it's a specially nice restaurant, but things don't go well that evening, and the food isn't right when it's brought out, and they send it back, and the next time it's even worse, and it's just generally a bad experience at the restaurant, right? And you're really mad about it. You don't get that many date nights anyway, and this one's just utterly ruined by the incompetent service. So literally, as you're waiting for the check, you grab your phone. You jump online, how quickly can you cut a rant? I mean, you fire away, man, don't ever eat at this place. It is the lousiest place in town. Wait service here is terrible, yada, 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 yada. And you get it out, man, 90 seconds, 2 minutes maybe, you can have that post up. And here come the likes. That's what we're watching for. And they come so fast, you got to check your phone like every 30 seconds. Because, I mean, 12 more people are on board with your rant about the restaurant. Someone even tags in a comment and says, oh, we ate there two weeks ago. Same thing, bad experience, right? And then like 200 likes in the first 20 minutes. Wow. You've got a following. And you're feeling real good about that. So affirmed because of all the likes. But your friend that you weren't thinking about when you posted it, who's part of your church family here, who is a waiter at a local restaurant, weighs in with a different perspective. And he points out, waiters don't cook your food. The cooks do. They just deliver it. You're venting around about the wrong person. And then it dawns on you, oh, he's right about that. Oops. And then he goes on to point out about how poorly paid the wait staff is, and people often give them all the anger that they're venting at the restaurant, unfairly so, and he goes on a big rant about how waiters are treated unfairly and need to be paid more. And then folks begin to weigh in on that, and then you know the conversation is circling the drain when it becomes a conversation, because you know people hijack your post, and it becomes a conversation about whether or not you have to tip when the service is bad. And then finally one of your buddies weighs in, and he takes on the waiter and said, you need to be looking for a better job anyway. And now you feel like you just need to delete the whole thing, right? Am I making that up? Happens all the time. Question. What led to that ugly mess? An unnecessary complaint made in anger, written impulsively, and without respect for the power of the medium. What I'm trying to say tonight is that the medium is part of the problem. I mean, brothers and sisters, it's right there on our phone. We can just grab it. We can type. We can post. Fire off a message literally in seconds. And the problem is we can do that without the awkwardness of having to look someone in the eye. You're not saying that to the waiter's face. You're venting about him behind his back. And there's not the value of contemplation that comes when you do something like sit down and write a letter or something like that. The point I'm making is that social media accommodates carelessness. Now here's the thing that I want you to appreciate. I chose my example on purpose. Griping about a restaurant and a waiter is pretty safe material to work with. But I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are often working in our social media posts with topics that are not safe. We're wading into conversations about heavy topics like moral controversies and spiritual questions and delicate technical issues of scripture and racial division and politics. Issues that don't just divide our world, they divide us as brothers and sisters. And yet Christians jump on this medium into this public forum and start firing off their latest rant without even taking the time to check grammar, much less content. By the way, I think we need to use right grammar on social media too. I'm sorry, I feel that way. I correct y'all's texts when they don't have periods and capitals in the right places too. So interestingly, God spoke about this too. Proverbs 29 in verse 20. Do you see people who speak too quickly? There is more hope for a foolish person than for them. And then this, Proverbs 12 and verse 18. Careless words stab like a sword, but wise words bring healing. And then on the flip side, Proverbs 25 and verse 11. The right word spoken at the right time is as beautiful as gold apples in a silver bowl. That kind of brings up echoes of Ephesians 4:29. Let your speech edify. Let it give grace. So, considering the power of the medium and how pervasive it is, it seems to me, brothers and sisters, at least if we're going to wade into this very public venue and express our thoughts on important matters, at the very least, we should pause and be careful. And so can I be plain about that so I'm not misunderstood? If you're commenting like 12 times an hour on different things that are posted on Facebook, it's too much. Because you don't have time to stop and really think about what you're saying. We don't have time to think through that many comments. And so, just as a general rule, think about Proverbs 10 and verse 19. If you talk a lot, you are sure to sin. Well, that pretty much covers it, doesn't it? If you talk a lot, you're sure to sin. If you are wise, you will keep quiet. I think as a general rule, we probably need to post and comment less. Hey, pictures of your grandkids, take off. Post a dozen a week. We all know how to hide you, okay? But when it's heavy stuff, divisive stuff, and we're going to choose to weigh in, really need to think about what we're going to say. People just use social media far too carelessly. Then number four thing I want you to think with me about, and it really connects to what we were just saying. We need to appreciate that social media, communicating through social media, breeds misunderstanding. Communicating through social media breeds misunderstanding. And part of the problem is the medium itself. One of the things we miss, and by the way, we miss this with texting and emails too. Part of the problem is we miss the other context clues that help us interpret people's communication. I don't think we realize how much non-verbal pieces of our communication help us understand the message someone's trying to communicate. I'm talking things other than the words that we speak. Even tone of voice. If I sit up here tonight and you pitch me an idea, and I said, oh, that's a great idea. Or if I said, oh, that's a great idea. I just said two completely opposite things, didn't I? But I spoke exactly the same words. What was the difference? I used a little different tone. And I could have thrown in some body language that would have totally altered how we understood the exact same words. You see the point I'm making? When I'm posting something on Facebook, nobody could see my face. When I'm texting, nobody can hear my tone. That's a big problem for me, by the way, because I have this little twinge of sarcasm in me. And I have discovered that you cannot text sarcasm. I need a font for that, a special font, the sarcasm font, so people will know. I shot someone a text I thought was funny because I was being sarcastic. I had to spend an hour fixing it. Has that ever happened to you? Dude, I was just being funny. Lighten up. I had to call him to get him straight. Who knew you could use your phone to call? The other thing that contributes to misunderstanding is that we're just so lazy with the way we use social media. That was kind of harsh, isn't it? But it is so true. People read the headline of an article that's leaked and they think they've got the whole thing. Or they just kind of skim right through it and hit the high points. Don't really read it carefully, start jumping to conclusions that sometimes are wrong. And because our posts are often impulsive, they lack the kind of careful review that we give more formal writing, even like if we're sending an email to someone. And so the result of that is that there's a lot of confusion when people communicate through social media. And I know that you have seen that. You've seen people get into debates and someone will post something and comments will be made and the writer will have to come back and say, that's not what I was saying. That's not what I meant. You've misunderstood me. How many times have you seen that kind of thing? Over and over and over again. So what I want you to see is what is at the root of that. It's about a medium that is a poor way for us to communicate with each other, particularly about things that are important. So Proverbs 18 and verse 13 says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and a shame to him. And so I'm just suggesting that before we start jumping into conversations about really heavy and important stuff, maybe we need to be sure that we have heard and that we've understood. And maybe we need to be really careful to make sure that we have spoken clearly and communicated our ideas effectively. In fact, maybe we should reconsider using social media at all for conversation about stuff that matters. What you think about that? Hey, vacation pictures, grandbaby pictures, hard to misunderstand those, right? But if I need to have a conversation with a young person who is struggling with the transgender issue, or if I've got someone in my church family who's wrestling with some little nuance of Bible teaching about the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, that's a coffee shop face-to-face kind of conversation, not a social media debate. I think maybe we ought to reconsider what kind of communication we're trying to do in this venue that breeds misunderstanding. Last thing, number five. We need to recognize that social media is often making things that should be private public. And I think we need to ponder that too. Maybe you've seen that like I have, where people have used their Facebook wall to vent their frustration and disappointment with someone who has hurt them or wounded them in some way. And even if the names are omitted to protect the guilty, those who are in the know who's really being talked about. And so you'll see a post that pops up like this. It is just the worst thing to be betrayed by a friend. Have you seen that? And then all the sympathy that follows. Or it's devastating when your brethren aren't there for you when you need them and you know who you are. I should be fair and admit that preachers are as bad about that as anyone else. And I fuss at my brothers about it. So a guy gets a little bit of unfair criticism on Sunday about his sermon, and before noon on Monday, he's got an article that he's posted and linked on his social media pages. Disciples who discourage. You don't think you know who's getting targeted by that? Or some preacher posts about the terrible way preachers are treated by churches today. And we don't all know that's about the elders who fired you 2 months ago. Come on. So can we just be straight with each other about that? Can we be plain tonight? Doesn't matter how many comforting friends respond with heart emojis and supportive words. We do things like this. We're gossiping. That's the biblical word for it. And it is a sin. It is making public things that are meant to be private. The Lord said something about this. If you look back at Matthew chapter 18, it is remarkable that Scripture speaks so clearly about this, and we seem to have missed it. In Matthew chapter 18, in verse 15, the Lord said, if your brother sins, go post about it on Instagram. Right? Go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. In fact, the Lord is emphatic that I am not supposed to go tell everybody about this. This isn't to be announced on the digital street corner. It's supposed to be between me and him and only us. And we get this worked out in private. Remember that Ephesians 4:29 urges us to speak words that edify. And getting online and ranting about the way my friends mistreat me or the way that others have hurt my feelings, brothers and sisters, those are not words that edify. In fact, candidly, it's the behavior of a coward. If I feel like somebody has been unfairly critical of me or has let me down or has wounded me in some way, my obligation from the Lord is that I go talk to them. And if it's a preacher, I feel like a group of church leaders has been unkind to me and treated me unfairly. There is one person or one group that that conversation ought to be with. Those church leaders, and with nobody else. We need to be really, really careful about using social media to make public things, private things rather, public. Let me close with one last passage. I want to go back to Ephesians, this time chapter 5. Make this observation. Maybe it would serve us well to just generally think about using social media less. You know, a lot of voices in our culture are concerned about that, with the amount of time, just the sheer volume being devoted to this activity. So it made me think about the words of Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 15, when he said, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." There is that call to wisdom again. "Making the most of your time because the days are evil." This year, the average American will give his Facebook page 3,000 hours. It just seems to me, brothers and sisters, that some of that time would be better spent on our knees, talking to the Lord instead of posting about the president. It seems to me that some of that time would be better spent in His Word, being enlightened and made wise by it. And it seems to me that some of those 3,000 hours would be better devoted to a coffee shop somewhere across the table from someone who needs to know Jesus. Because brothers and sisters, if we want to help our country and we're concerned about how things are, the answer is not to get your guy in office. It's to tell your lost friends about Jesus. That is how we change the world. Maybe I can just give Instagram less than 3,000 hours this year and devote a little more to things like that. The days are evil. We need to make the most of our time. We're going to sing this song in a minute, and it occurs to me, and as we prepare to do that, maybe there's somebody that needs to use this moment. I don't know. Maybe as we talked about this tonight, it's pricked your heart about your activities online. Maybe you're even sensitive to the fact that there may be people in this room who've seen things that you have posted and commented, or images that betray who you desire to be in Jesus Christ. What a great opportunity it'd be tonight, set the record straight about that, to let everybody in your family know where you are and what you intend to be, and to get their encouragement as you strive to do that. We'd love to pray with you and support you in that effort tonight. And then, of course, if there's someone who isn't serving Jesus, who's never made that decision to be a disciple, we'd love to join heaven's celebration with you tonight for your decision to obey the Lord. So if you know that Jesus is Lord and you're ready to be immersed for the remission of your sins, we'd love for tonight to be the night that you do that. We've chosen this song, reminding us that He lives, to encourage you to do that. So however we can help you, you can make your way down to the front right now while we stand, while we sing together.
I serve a risen Savior.